All right, welcome into a special edition of Sedano and Cap on YouTube and for podcast consumption on our podcast feed, wherever you find your podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, ESPN LA app, ESPN app, whatever. But smash the like button on the ESPN LA YouTube page. So, Cappy, is this you just trying to find your way onto my podcast by doing this?
Well, you know, I have been asking you to let me get into your podcast, and you've told me that it's a little too NBA for me. So, I mean, here it is. It's Monday afternoon, right? And the Lakers are going to be playing. They're going to knock us off the air today. They're going to knock us off the air tomorrow. Yesterday, we had the AFC and NFC championship games. And Saturday night, we had the Lakers and the Celtics. And we're not going to be on the air until Wednesday. And I'm telling you, George, like, people were hitting me up yesterday, whether it was at Yamava or on Twitter. Can't wait till you guys get on the air on Monday. And I'm like, damn, we're not on Monday. So here we are.
We're not. But you can't just let us have a couple of days off. So there's that. So we're here anyway, despite that.
I will take that, by the way. It is on me.
All right. Look, dude, the reality is this. There's not a lot to discuss here. I normally, like, in regards to the Laker fans, I always try to tell them to calm down. It's not as bad as you think. Okay, well, this one is as bad as you think because the league and the referees actually admitted they got this thing wrong in as quickly a fashion as I've ever seen handled in the NBA. I mean, normally when there's a crazy event, there's a pool reporter and there, you know, the referee will talk to that pool reporter and that stuff gets out fairly quickly. The entire refs association, basically, in the league put out a statement immediately after this game. I've never seen how something like this had happened as quickly as it did. But look, LeBron has every right to be furious. Laker fans have every right to be furious. I do have other reasons as to why they lost, but I know everybody wants to vent and everyone wants to get out there and yell and scream at somebody. So go ahead, have at it.
Well, I mean, listen, all I want to say is this. Look, does LeBron have the right to be pissed? Of course he does. Was I kind of surprised by the antics? I must admit I was.
I wasn't surprised by that. He has every right to be furious and do whatever he wants to do after that, because that's as egregious a missed call as I've ever seen.
And that's
don't think it's the only reason they lost.
Right. But I understand why he would lose his mind. But from my perspective, it's like, damn, LeBron, like, you didn't get a call. And I mean, he goes after the referees on just about every play anyway. But in this one, he didn't get a call. It should have been obvious to everybody. It seemed to be obvious to everybody watching other than the referees. But to see LeBron lose his mind like that, it made me feel like, hey, guys, come on, hurry up. You got to get your head back together because you got to go play overtime. And instead, you're still caught up in what just happened. And I never felt like they got it together in overtime.
No, they definitely didn't get it together in overtime. And it didn't help that Patrick Beverly.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't brought the camera over to
that was great. Lewis. See that? Yeah, that I like.
No, hilarious, hysterical. He's a legend for that. But speaking of Patrick Beverly, it almost made up for what I thought he did, which was the biggest mistake of the game. So here's what I'm trying to tell Laker fans. I know nobody wants to hear it in the immediacy, but now that it's been a couple days, I think people can rationalize now a little better. Patrick Beverly, for as great as he was in that game, hitting threes, that crazy putback dunk, which I didn't think he could do. He hadn't dunked in 3 years, basically.
Dude, he's like 6 feet tall. I mean, he's not that big.
Right. I mean, you sized him up the other day.
Yeah, looked him up and down.
Yeah, no, you didn't. So anyway, the play before that, where Jaylen Brown got the layup, he hit him on the head, and I'm screaming at my television, going, Pat, what are you doing? You're up three. Like, if you just give him the layup, what the hell, man? Why did you have to contest that? He hit him clearly on the head. So, of course, he's going to get that call because you hit anyone in the head in any sport, understandably so. It's going to be a foul, a penalty in some way, shape, or form. So I'm like, bro, what a boneheaded play. And then Laker fans were trying to argue me on social media, like, well, but you're not focusing on the right thing. And I'm like, no, you're not. I understand you're upset and you're emotional. But literally, if he just lets him get that layup, the Lakers are still up one with 4.1 seconds to go. The LeBron play never even happens because the Celtics have to foul immediately. And the Lakers are going to the free throw line. The Lakers would have been celebrating in the locker room long before LeBron got up from being apoplectic about that play.
Good word. Good word. Hey, look, here's something I've been saying to Laker fans, and no one wants to listen to me. No one wants to hear what I have to say. But here, let me just say this. You ready? They're this close. When you can go on the road, George, and play at Boston on national TV, the best team in the league, the most wins, younger, more athletic, etc. You just got AD back. You just got Rui in the lineup. We all know how LeBron's been playing. They're not that far away. In other words, if they played Boston in a 7-game series, is it 4-0 Boston?
Maybe.
Okay, but maybe not. Maybe
right. But here, but here's where you're wrong about this stuff.
Tell me.
Because you're judging this based off the regular season. Yes, it could be 4-0. Do you realize that the Boston Celtics swept the Brooklyn Nets last year with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving?
I did.
And none of the games, if I recall correctly, were more than 5 points.
I saw it, Dave McMiniman. I saw that. I was watching that last year.
Yeah. By the way, somebody behind you just moved that curtain while you were talking. Well,
Jack the Frenchie. He comes in here. Jack the Frenchie walks in while I do this. He hangs out with me all day.
All right.
So look, all I'm saying is,
but you just why do you not want to give up? Why do you not want to give up assets and try to make this team better? What is it you have in what is in this for you?
I don't think this team is a championship team this year. I don't think that because the West is weak.
But you just said they're right there with the Celtics,
right? Because I'm one of these guys who, when I get wrapped up in my team, I believe in my team. I believe in my coach. And I just think that they're going to be peaking at the right time. That is, of course, with one monster caveat, which you have to say every time you talk about the Lakers, if, and it's only an if, AD can stay healthy the rest of the way.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that on the show some other day. Let's finish up this game from Boston. Here's what I would say. I don't know what the league can do to those officials other than not give them the requisite amount of games that they would normally give them, in the sense of like, playoff assignments, right? These officials are graded. People want to know this stuff. So officials are graded game to game. And if you get too many missed calls or demerits, let's call them, then you're not going to be in line to potentially get the type of games you would get in the playoffs, if you even get playoff games at all. So while I look at this situation, and I know Anthony Davis used the word cheated, and I understand this is a culmination. This thing has been compounding because they feel like the Lakers they've dealt with this multiple times this season. And what I would say is cheated is too far for me, because that implies that these officials are doing something nefarious. And I know the internet is raging right now because Eric Lewis's wife apparently has a picture on social media from the playoffs last year, and she's a Celtics fan. Eric Lewis's wife, by the way, is the head coach of George Mason's women's basketball team, okay? And she's from Maryland. So I don't know why she was wearing a Celtics jersey in that particular picture. Maybe she is a Celtics fan despite being from Maryland. Nonetheless, my point is, not everything is a conspiracy theory. So we need to just kind of chill with that.
No, but I think the word cheated, you know, like cheated, if you take it literally, you think they cheated, somebody broke the rules to screw us out of something. I think that what Anthony Davis and LeBron are saying is, we should have been able to have won that game. The result, it was stolen from us, if you will. But hey, look, you talk about the Pat Beverly thing, right? Sometimes guys just make stupid plays at the wrong time, and it costs a team a game. In the case that we're talking about between Boston and the Lakers, as a regular season game, it was one that if the Lakers would have been able to win that game, we might be thinking a little bit differently about them, but they couldn't get it done yet again. It's really, George, I'm transitioning. It's really the same thing that happened at the end of that Chiefs Bengals game last night, where Mahomes makes that run. And you're like, wow, this guy's limping around all game. He's in obvious pain. When he had to make a run, he did. He got the first down. And then the linebacker from Cincinnati, a guy whose name I'm guessing most people don't know, Joseph Osai, yeah. When he hits him out of bounds, here's a rookie linebacker from Texas who's had a good season. And by all accounts, seems like he's an up-and-coming star player.
Had a good game.
Had a really good game. But to make a boneheaded play like that, because there's going to be 8 seconds to go with first down, and you're at midfield. You're not kicking a field goal. You've got 7 seconds to get 15 yards to get your field goal team on the field to get to a 45-yarder. And he makes that terrible mistake. And once Mahomes picks up the first down and picks up the extra 15 yards, dude, it's practically game, set, match.
Yeah. By the way, I would also say to, I know Bengal fans are also raging about the officials, to your point. And then that alleged, you know, that third down where we saw in the Zapruder film, mm-hmm. the official come from way down far end of the field to try to stop it. Nobody heard the whistle. By the way, the next play, KC didn't do anything with it. Yes, I guess in theory they got an extra down, but they didn't.
They did, but there was also a pass interference penalty on the play, which turned it into a first down. And ultimately, to your point, there was about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Kansas City did not do anything. They went three and out after
Correct.
That.
Correct, yes.
But they still, it seemed, for those that are conspiracy theorists, to you know, it seemed like people were sitting on, they're going, is the NFL trying to get Kansas City into the Super Bowl? What's going on here? I think that's how Bengals fans.
Those are people probably also don't believe that we landed on the moon. They believe that it was all filmed in the Mojave Desert somewhere. So there's that part of the equation too. I also think that here's what boggles my mind, whether it's the NBA and the Lakers-Celtics situation or the NFL in that game with Kansas City and Cincinnati, is that everyone says, oh, replay takes too long. Oh, we just, you know, who doesn't, you know, the human element. We need the human element. No, we don't. No, we don't. Either we have to go full VAR like soccer does or tennis does, or because, you know, I've always joked that, and I've said this to you, like the NFL to me is ridiculous in the sense that we literally have a bunch of old dudes with a chain gang, right? Like as a chain gang trying to measure stuff with their eyeballs, right? Like it's weird to me. You either go and embrace technology or you don't. And that's for every league, in my opinion. It doesn't mean you can't have officials, but you either have to embrace the fact that you're going to have to review stuff to get it right. Or you're not. And look, I'll give you a perfect example of the Laker game because people were like, Lakers, that should have been reviewable, right? Or it should have been challenged, but they didn't have a challenge with Darvin Ham. Not true. Actually, a play in the NBA is not reviewable if there's not a foul is not reviewable if there wasn't a whistle blown in that instance. So they couldn't have gone back to review that no matter what or challenge it even if they had the challenge. With the Bengals and Cincinnati and Kansas City, my thing is like, hey, man, you can complain about the officials all you want, but you let Sky Moore, you punted the ball down the middle of the field to Sky Moore.
Right.
And you let him run it back to the opposite end of the field, basically into your territory. So like there are instances like the Pat Bev thing, right? Where Cincinnati, that's a self-inflicted wound. Why didn't you punt the ball out of bounds? Why didn't you angle the punt in that scenario? And you wouldn't have given Patrick Mahomes the opportunity to even put his team in that position.
Well, that's a good point in that. You know, when Kansas City, for as much as we'd heard, Mahomes' ankle, what's he going to be? Then we heard Travis Kelce on Friday got hurt at the end of practice, which I felt like kind of flew under the radar until game time. And then you have a guy like Sky Moore come up with a couple of really big plays in this game. And then I think, George, maybe the play of the game that no one's talking about is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. This is the receiver that Kansas City had when he extended the ball, picked up the first down. It was originally called short, so it was going to be fourth and one. He did such a brilliant job of extending the ball, and then he wound up catching the touchdown pass from Mahomes. So for as many injuries as there were, Mahomes is hurt, Kelce's hurt, their receivers are all going out of the game. Guys made plays in crucial points, and listen, I loved it after the game when Travis Kelce shouted out the mayor of Cincinnati. Hey, you jabroni, know your role, pal. Don't be talking about Burrowhead. I thought that was great. And it was all unfortunate in that the second game lived up to all the hype. The first game, dude, as soon as Brock Purdy went out.
Yeah, it was over.
That's it. Over. They're not even competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, honestly, I don't know what they could have done other than have McCaffrey just run the Wildcat and occasionally try to throw it down the field. It was a mess, especially once Johnson went down too. Like then it's like, I mean, even when Johnson was in there, there wasn't a ton of hope, but maybe you're like, oh, a turnover, maybe like a fumble recovery, a pick six, maybe Johnson could just get him in field goal range, but then he went out and then, yeah, then it was
and,
all.
And Josh Johnson is such a, listen, I'm a fan. I love a great underdog. Yeah. I love an underdog. I love a great story. This guy was the quarterback when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach, when Harbaugh was just breaking into head coaching down at the University of San Diego, D1AA non-scholarship. So for a guy to have this long of a career is amazing. But you talk about somebody who looked completely unprepared. And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying he's the fourth string quarterback. He was at the Denver Broncos earlier this year. What did anybody expect that Josh Johnson was going to do? I know what I was rooting for, which was a Rudy kind of story. Pull him off the bench. He leads the team to the victory on the road, goes to the Super Bowl. That's the story I wanted. That was not reality with Josh Johnson.
No, unfortunately, wasn't the case. So the Niners season, once Purdy went down, pretty much went crashing. Still a good season for them when you consider the fact that the guy who was Mr. Irrelevant,
yeah.
you know, gets them to win one game, to within one game of the Super Bowl. But who do you like in the Super Bowl? I think, look, the Eagles are the healthier team by a wide margin because it's not just Mahomes. Obviously, Kansas City was playing with several receivers out in that game this past weekend against Cincinnati. The Eagles are a really complete team at this point. Now, it's basically you are picking the team that's more complete in Philadelphia, or you're just saying Patrick Mahomes will be healthier in 2 weeks. He's probably one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback as far as physical tools are concerned we've ever seen. I think he's the greatest guy I've ever seen because he can do everything that you would want a quarterback can do. He doesn't have the greatest resume. But I have been saying that he's basically Dan Marino and Steve Young having a baby together, baby, you know what I mean? Because of the angles that he throws, how quickly he gets it out, his arm strength like Marino, his accuracy and his mobility like a Steve Young. So that's what I look at when I see him. So it's either you think he can pull it off because he's just that talented, and I don't think we've ever seen that kind of talent at that position, and it's the most important position, or you think the Eagles can pull it off because they're just better roster.
I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I can tell you who I'm rooting for.
Who are you rooting
for? I'm definitely rooting for Philadelphia.
Okay.
I root for Philadelphia because I love the Jalen Hurts story.
Yeah.
You know, again, I love an underdog. And he was not an underdog until they decided to bench him right for before Tua. The national championship game. Wait, but coach, hold on. We have gotten here together, and I've been the starting quarterback, and we're
Team. He benched them in the national championship game.
Right. So I'm getting at is like, but coach, but why? Like, if you lose two or three games, you go, hey, look, we got another guy. He's a five-star recruit. You know, he's an All-American, blah, blah, blah. We got to give somebody else a shot. Jalen Hurts didn't do anything to deserve to be benched. So for him to have been benched, for him to have come back the next year and been a great teammate, he didn't become some locker room cancer. He didn't become a distraction. And then for him to finally move on to Oklahoma, and then become a second-round pick, and then for Doug Peterson to eventually really be fired because he defended Jalen Hurts, said, this should be our guy, but they gave all that money to Carson Wentz. Like, there's just a story here for Jalen Hurts that I love. So I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I already know for the next 2 weeks who I'm rooting for, and I'm rooting for Philadelphia.
You're basically playing both sides is what you're saying. You're giving yourself an avenue to play both sides.
Well, I will say this. If I'm going to root for Philadelphia, come the Friday before the Super Bowl, I'm more likely to pick Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, I don't want you trying to do this backdoor stuff. No, you pick Kansas City.
No, I'm not going to root for Philly and then pick Kansas City and then sit on both sides. But George, let me tell you one thing. We missed you yesterday in a big way.
Yeah.
Because we had this thing going on at Yamava yesterday. And dude, our promotions team, Joseph and Parker and DeAndre and Amara, these guys, they knocked it out of the park yesterday at Yamava. George, I must have eaten 13, 14, 15,000 calories yesterday. I'm guessing, you know?
You can tell. You're a little puffy in the face.
Oh, God, horrible. I mean, just in fact, today, my buddies were texting me. They're like, dude, are you ever going to start a diet with us? I weighed in this morning to start this diet with my buddies because we need I need to be on a team, you know?
Yeah.
I ate so much yesterday. Yamava was off the chain. Now, is it off the chain or is it off the hook? Which one is it?
I mean, it could be either.
Well, it was off the chain. It was great. The staff there was amazing. The DJ was awesome. The crowd, the listeners that showed up were incredible. I wound up hanging out the whole day with Crypto Ray because he and I just sat there and chilled together.
Yeah.
All day long. We just had a great time. So I'll just say this, George. Super Bowl Sunday in 2 weeks. We're going to party at Yamava in the 909 Sports Bar and out by the pool. They got massive TVs out by the pool. $1,000 being given away for every touchdown scored. So we got to root for a really, really high scoring Super Bowl because Yamava is giving away $1,000 for every touchdown scored. How good is that?
Nice. That's fantastic stuff, dude. So I'm glad it went well. I'm sure the Super Bowl will be great. And I'm sure you ate all your talent fee in food. So.
Do you want to know how it went with Mace?
Oh, well, I mean, you want to save that for the show on Wednesday or do you want to just do it now?
I think it's going to get aired out today on Mason in Ireland.
How would you rate it? 10 being, wow, this is incredible. We're like soulmates, you know, him and Juan and me and Rachel. A one, it's a complete disaster. We now hate each other. We'll never speak to each other.
No, I'd say it's a five. I'll give it a five right in the middle, and here's why.
Yeah.
So I get a call from Mace. I'm out at Yamava. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon. We have about a 5:45 dinner reservation because Leslie Jones is going to play that night. By the way,
he flakes on you.
Leslie Jones, hilarious.
Yeah, he flaked on you for dinner.
Well, not exactly. So he calls me and he tells me that Juan wasn't feeling well.
Uh-oh.
So Juan's not going to come.
Mm.
So Mace is driving out to Yamava.
Mm-hmm.
Gets about halfway, gets a call from Juan. Positive test.
Oh, boy.
So Mason says to me, hey, I'm going to come out and I'll be the fifth wheel. I go, yo, wait a second here, bro. Now, you're not fifth wheeling with us, okay? Like, if Juan, you know, fell and broke his leg and you said, hey, I'm going to come out and be the fifth wheel, oh, so be it. But you live with this guy. You sleep in the same bed with this guy. He's got it. You're not coming out to hang out with us and give it to us.
Right.
So I said to him, I go, Mace, love you, buddy. Turn around and go home.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Wow.
Never made it.
Now, do you buy that he wanted to, that he was actually halfway there?
Yeah.
Because that would be my only question. I'm not asking if Juan didn't test positive for COVID or wasn't sick. I'm just questioning whether Mason was actually halfway to Yamava.
I'm gonna give him the yes, I think he was.
Okay.
I think so. All right,
fair enough. I would imagine we'll talk about this on Crosstalk on Wednesday.
Yes. And yes, I think we will. We'll save it for that.
All right. Well, this has been fun. You're still not getting on the podcast. But this is at least one step closer to getting on the podcast potentially.
So. A little step closer. That's right. Yeah. It's not bad.
All right. Sedano and Cap, we're off Monday, Tuesday. Smash the like button on the ESPN LA YouTube page. This will also be, if you missed any part of it or you couldn't watch the whole thing, the audio accompaniment, will be on our Sedano and Cap podcast feed. For Scott Kaplan, I'm George Sedano. We will talk to you Wednesday. See you.